Come live in me. Come breathe in me. Those are great words. And when you consider that the Son of God lives in your heart and life, if you're a Christian, the Son of God lives in your heart and life. Now, when you consider what He has done for us, and how He gave Himself for us, and how He desires for us to live, it's easy to understand that we're saved by grace through faith. I mean, that's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? I mean, anybody here think you're going to ever earn heaven? No. How many sins does it take to get kicked out of heaven? One. So we're saved by grace through faith. That's how we're saved. Isn't it an amazing thing, though, that we're saved by grace through faith, but after we're saved by grace through faith, and I said this last week, we spend the rest of our life living a life that's everything but by grace through faith. We're saved by grace through faith, but somewhere along the way, we quit living by grace through faith, and we go from grace and faith to this: I live by grace and what I do. Don't we? And now, instead of trusting God by grace through faith to get me through life, I am dependent on my own self. When God says, I saved you by grace, I give you the faith to even believe in me, now walk with me the rest of your life by grace through faith. Why in the world would you want to handle life on your own? Why in the world would you want to leave yourself to your own decisions? Why in the world would you go out and try to do something in your own ability when all along I have got everything for you absolutely mapped out, and the pathway to get to it is by, say it, faith. It's by faith. Now, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture here, and it's in Exodus chapter 2, and it's where we were last week. And for those of you who are just catching up, I filled in all the blanks for you this week so you could catch up from where we were last week. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And her sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. And then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket along the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it, and she opened it, and she saw the baby. Circumstances can so dictate to our lives, and circumstances, we looked at last week, will cause us to walk with God by what? Faith. And so the circumstances of life are very, very powerful in our lives. If the circumstances are going good, everything's great with God and I. If the circumstances aren't so good, now suddenly I get dependent on a holy God to meet my needs, when all along God wanted us to be dependent whether things were good or what? Not so good. Now, watch this. The circumstances of life are initiated by God. You say, well, what about the bad stuff? I'm here to tell you, God has got to be sovereign even over what the enemy does. Now, the problem with the enemy when he comes and brings stuff into our life, is it good? Answer, no. So we know not all things are good. Does God turn all things to good? Absolutely. So is God still sovereign? Yes. So can anything get by God? No. Now, our problem is we get so wrapped up with the delivery boy, we forget to ask God what He's initiating. We get so wrapped up with the delivery boy, we don't ever stop to ask God. How many times you've had a circumstance in your life that's utterly flattened you, and you stop and you get so wrapped up with the problem, you never go to God by faith and say, Father, what are you initiating here that would cause me to walk with you by faith? What are you up to, God, that needs for me to respond to you in faith? Now, we usually don't get to that point right away, do we? We spend a good portion of our time under the circumstances, and rather than respond to God by faith, what we do is we're usually trying to get God to adjust His will to my will. And I want God to have faith in my decision. Now, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm asking you to bless it. Now, Lord, here's what I need. I'm going to decide what's best for me. And while I'm deciding what's best for me, God, you just need to get in on what I'm in on. So, God, why don't you just adjust your will to me? That's really what we're saying, aren't we? Because when the circumstances come, we want to make the decisions, and then we ask God to bless it, but then when it doesn't go so well, here's what we do. We blame God and say He's unfaithful. Why did this happen to me? Why are these problems coming to my life? Why is all this stuff happening to me? How about when He blesses you? Do you ever spend time telling Him how faithful He is? Sometimes. Sometimes I do. When God blesses the fire out of me, I'm quick to remind Him how faithful He is. Now, we talked last week about believing God. What does it mean to believe God? And I asked you a question. What are you believing God for right now that if He doesn't come through, you're sunk? And I told a story last week. You weren't here. I told a story that God began to deal with my heart. And as He dealt with my heart, He brought me to a place where He was testing me to see whether I would believe Him or not. And so I got before God and He showed me three things. I was supposed to believe Him that He could provide an automobile for me to travel in without me borrowing any money. That was the first thing. The second thing was He asked me to believe Him to increase my ministry to go from John. At this point in time, I was just doing music, but God was calling me to preach. And so my believing God was, I'm doing music, you're calling me to preach, I'm believing you that you're going to raise the preaching ministry up. The third thing I was believing God for was that He would show me who my wife would be. And I was believing God for those three things. Now, I want to tell you how that story ended, and I didn't get a chance to tell you last week. First thing was, a man came up to me one time and gave me $5,000, and I took that $5,000 and traded my car in and had enough money to buy a brand new car without borrowing a dime. Because he asked me to believe him, he initiated the faith. Did you get that? He initiated the walk of faith. I responded to what he was initiating. I'm going to get into that a little more in a minute. I was believing him for preaching. Do you know, after God did that, and that was 15 years ago, in the last 15 years, I've been invited to two churches just to do music, where they called and said, would you come do the music? And one of them was a friend of mine who had somebody preaching, and he wanted me to come to do music so we can hang out and have some fun time together. Now, the third thing was he'd show me who my wife was. And that night I said, Lord, I am so trusting you for my wife that I would marry a stranger. I am so dependent on you, God. Right now, I'm taking hands off my life. I'd marry a stranger. I looked over there and I shared with you there was a little auburn-haired girl. And I said, Lord, I'm so trusting you, I'd marry that real pretty girl. Now, there were a lot of girls in there that night. I didn't pick any ugly girl. I mean, I picked out a pretty one. And after church, a lady walks up to me. She goes, oh, I got this girl you got to meet. You got to meet this girl. And he introduces me to that girl, and it was Lynette. So I see how God was beginning to work on me. Now, believing God simply means this. You're responding in faith to what God is initiating. Believing God is simply this. I'm going to respond in faith for what God is initiating. When God initiates it, I respond with him by what? Faith. We see it in the life of Abraham, and I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Watch this. We talked about Abraham. He believed God, and it was counted for him as righteousness. Now, you can sit back here, and there's a crowd of folk in our world today, especially here in Tulsa, who have this name it and claim it type gospel, and they're believing God for everything. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for this. You know, that's kind of what I call cowardly lion faith. I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks. You know, you can believe that all you want, but if God's not initiating what you're believing him for, watch this, people, it's not going to happen. Why? Because then you're back to God adjusting his life to your will instead of you adjusting your life to his will. And so believing God is finding out what he's initiating. After he initiates it, I come to him by faith and I agree with him. If you're initiating this by faith, I'm going to believe you. Joseph believed God even when he was in the pit. And he believed God even when he was with Pharaoh. And God turned it all to good. He believed God. Now, the problem we face is we wait till the problems come before we ever look to God for the direction or the answer. So we don't want to walk with him by faith until the problem comes. And then when the problem comes, we're quick to run to God to find out what's wrong on his end concerning my blessings. Amen. Now, in this name it and claim it gospel, let me share something with you about that. There's only one place in the world you can preach it. And that's America. You go to Russia and do the name it and claim it stuff, it's not going to work. You go to Guatemala in the next several days, name it and claim it. I'm believing God, he's going to do this, 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 and this. And watch this. You go to Russia, you go to Guatemala, you go to Cambodia, and you explain to these people the problem is their faith. You're going to understand these folks don't have a clue what the problem is because they're the ones who are doing the initiating and they're asking God to cower down to their will instead of God's will. Now, when it comes to seeking the word of a word from God, we got to come expectantly to his word. And watch this, faith is going to stand on the promises of God. So here comes my question. How do we live in this book? How are you saved? By grace through faith. How do you know that? How do you know it? God gave you a promise. He gave you a promise, didn't he? That there's coming a time that he would save you from your sin. He gave you a promise of everlasting life in heaven. So what are you standing on? You are standing on the promises of God. Agreed. And as you're standing on the promises of God, you're asking God and you're believing God. Now, Abraham believed God. First of all, he believed God at Ur of the Chaldees. Go to the place I'll show you when you get there. God gave him a promise that he would show him where it was when he what? Got there. He believed it. He God initiated it. He responded with God by faith. He went over. God did what he said he would do. Watch this. He does it again with his descendants. He says, your descendants shall be like the sand of the sea. That's a promise from God. In that promise from God, how did God answer that? We're it. We're part of the sand of the sea agenda of God's. So God has fulfilled that. Now watch this one. You're going to have a son, Isaac. He believed God. Ah, but here's where the old little Baptist in Abraham shows up. He waited 7 years. God didn't provide quick enough. And so he decided he had a program that God would have to work through. And so what he does is he comes up with Ishmael. And Ishmael is Abraham trying to do God's will his way instead of walking with God by, say it, faith. And he does it his way. Now, Israel misses the promises of God because of their unbelief and their disobedience. The book of Revelation is all about the future promises of God. The second coming in 2 Peter 3:4 says we have a promise from God. The book of Hebrews talks about the promises of God. Every one of the men in Hebrews chapter 11 lived by faith according to the promises of God. Now, if God speaks through this word, and let me remind you something about those Hebrew guys, not all of them received the promise. So you know what that tells us? When God gives a promise to you, it is not necessarily what you're going to get. It's the way he wants you to walk. It's the way he wants you to walk. He may give you a promise, and that promise is for you, but it may not turn out the way you thought it would. Let me give you an example of that. When I got a word from God several years ago, God spoke to me in the Word, and as he spoke to me, here's what he promised me. He promised me I'd be married. He promised me I'd be married. So he was initiating that. How'd you know that? Because it was the desire of my heart. It was the desire of my heart. I wanted to be married. And so God would either have to change the desire of my heart or he would have to fulfill the desire of my heart. I had a need. He said he would provide all my need. That's a promise. This was a need. I had a tremendous need. So now I was trusting God for what he was initiating. So I started to walk with God as though I was already married, even though I was not yet married, because I knew one day I would be married. And I wanted a godly woman, and so I had to become a godly man. And all through the 80s, I want to tell you something, as I was making this journey, God revealed to me just how fleshly I was and how he could not fulfill this promise until he got me to where I needed to be in the realm of being like Christ. But I didn't date as though I was a single guy. I dated like a married guy. Example. I would ask girls out, and here's what I'd say to them. Are you the one, or should I look for another? Now, this worked. All the ones who were not interested in being married right away, they filtered themselves out right away. I didn't have to mess with them. I moved right along. Are you the one? Now, it worked for John the Baptist, didn't it? You the one, or should we look for another one? And so I acted out as though. Now, God, his word, his rhema, speaks to us today. He has given his word. His word brings encouragement. His word brings enlargement. His word brings direction for our lives and how we should walk. Listen to Deuteronomy 8. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man what? Lives by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of who? God. So you know what? This isn't just some Old Testament hokey-pokey God talking. I'm here to tell you tonight, God wants to speak to you. Personally to you. In such a way that as you go to the Word of God, my friend, listen to me, God wants to speak to you. Well, what we used to do is simply this. Well, I'm going to get into the Word, and I'm going to find a promise from God I can stand on. I'm just going to get in the Word. I'm going to find a promise from God I can stand on. Watch this, friend. You don't find the promises of God. The promises of God find you. There's a guy who used to teach several years ago. He was really, really popular with youth. Seminars. And he would find a philosophy he wanted to teach, and then he would go to the Word of God until he found a verse that matched what he was thinking, and he came out and said, "Thus saith the Lord." Listen, you don't go to God's Word and say, "Okay, I'm going to find something I can stand on, so I got a promise to stand on." God does not yield to us. When you're looking for the promises of God, you don't have to find them. They'll find you. And when they find you, you will know God has spoken, because all of those four things that are right in your paper will line up. His word, the spirit, our authorities, and our circumstances. All four will line up. And as you're looking for the word of God, and as God is speaking to you, God's going to speak to you through the promises of God. He's going to come to you and talk to you. Now, let me tell you where I'm going here. I shared with you the promises aren't necessarily what you're going to get, but they're going to make it to where you come to a place where God will begin to speak to you. Now, I want to give you a little testimony of this. I have, for the last 24 years as a Christian, we were taught at Eastwood Baptist Church when Brother Tom was over there, and those of you who grew up at Eastwood will relate to this. We were taught that the Word is alive and well. It's a rhema. It speaks to us. You can go to God, and in your daily quiet time with God, God will speak about your circumstance. About your circumstance. And so for years, for the last 24 years, every time I've had to make a decision that was really a major decision, I go to God and I say, Father, I'm not going to do anything until you speak to me. And so I was so trusting God and His Word that I would be in the Word of God, and you can go to my office, and I have 12 years of journals stacked up, where when I have my quiet time every day, I write something out there. God, how are you today? Here's how I'm feeling. Here's what's going on. I write out my prayer. God, here's what's going on in my world today. God, I turned 50 yesterday. God, I'm falling apart. Look at me. I mean, and I'm writing all that out. God, I'm feeling so old. And then I wrote this. God, it's just dawned on me. I've only got 20 more years. Oh, God, please do not let me leave this world and not accomplish what you would have had me to accomplish. I wrote all that out. And I began to read in the Word of God. Now, when I read in the Word of God, I'm in a systematic Bible study where I read a chapter in Psalms, a chapter in the New Testament, a chapter in the Old Testament. I've done this for 24 years, reading right through, not jumping all over the place, staying consistent. When I'm done with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way to Revelation, back to Matthew, and I keep on going, Psalms all the way through, Old Testament all the way through, back and all the way through, I'm putting myself in position where if God would like to give me a promise, He will know where I am when it comes time to speak. I don't have to go to His Word and find Him. He knows where I am. He'll find me. He'll speak. The promise of God will find me. I don't have to find the promise of God. And here's why this is important. You can take the Word of God and make it say anything you want it to say concerning your circumstance. I had a kid one time, we were talking, he says, I'm really praying about college. And I challenged him to get in the Word of God. And here he came back, he goes, God spoke to me. I said, okay, how did God speak to you? He said, I'm going to go to Oklahoma State. I said, okay, how do you know that? He leads me beside the still water. That's a little shaky, you know what I'm saying? Now, you cannot use the finger-pointing process of going to the Word of God. All right, God, I need you to speak to me. Speak. Judas went out and hung himself. All right, now what have you got to say? Go and do thou likewise. Oh, you know. And what we end up doing is we try to manipulate the Word of God for my own benefit. I am going to use the Word of God to convince God to get in on what I want Him to get in on. So here was my first promise. I'd been a Christian about a year. And I was praying. I said, God, what are you trying to say to me? And I was getting to a point, it was a year, I'd been in Tulsa for a year. I was kind of wanting to go home and see my parents. But I was kind of afraid to go back home because, I mean, when you come from the lifestyle that I came from, and I'm going to share that testimony one of these days, when you're gambling between $700 and $900 a week and you're the most immoral man that ever lived, you don't want to really get in a big hurry to go back to that. But God spoke to me for the very first time, Terry, and here's what He said as I was reading. He said, go home to your friends and tell them how I've had compassion on you and how I've had mercy on you. God initiated the word to my heart. He brought me the promise. Now, at that point in time, I didn't have the money to go home. I was making $3 an hour at Arby's Roast Beef. And I said, God, I'm believing you. You're going to provide a way for me to get home. I'm so believing you that I'm really not going to tell anybody except you. And a guy came to me, he goes, when are you going home? I said, I'm thinking about going home this summer. He said, well, I was praying this morning and God told me to let you borrow my car and my credit card and take it and use it to drive up and back, pay for your gas all the way up. I just put new tires in the car and I used that guy's car and I used his credit card just for gasoline up and back, and God fulfilled the promise to me. Let me show you another time God spoke to me. It came time 4 years after I got saved, God was speaking to my heart, and it was about the ministry. And it was on January 1st, 1979. It was a Sunday. I lived right across the street from the church. It was 5 of 7. OU was on TV in the Orange Bowl when they used to make the big tournaments. And so I was going to watch the game and blow off church. And as I was laying there watching the game, God, it was about 3 of 7, and God says, you need to go to church. I said, I'm free. I'm free, God. I mean, I don't have to be there. I don't want to go. God says, no, you need to go. And it got to be 2 of and 1 of, and then finally my spirit said, excuse me, I've told you to go to church. And I got up, and I walked over, and I sat down, and Michael Gott was preaching. I don't remember what he said, but I just sat there and sat there and sat there, and God began to speak to my little heart. And here's what he said. I'm calling you into full-time ministry. And here's what I said. Is there something wrong with you? You want me to be a minister? Duh. But God made it so clear to me. And Janice, I came forward that night. I took Brother Tom by the hand. I said, Brother Tom, God's calling me into ministry. And here's what he said. You need to go home and ask him again. I said, no, I'm telling you, he's called me. He said, how do you know? I said, I feel it. He goes, son, that may have been something you ate tonight. And I went home that night. I said, God, you're telling me that you're calling me, but nobody believes it. As a matter of fact, it's a little hard for me to believe. And for some of you here tonight, you're still having struggle believing it. But God was speaking to me through his word. And I left off at Ephesians chapter 3. So Ephesians chapter 4 is where I would go next. And God's promise found me. And it said in Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation by which you are called. And then I went over to my book of Psalms, and it was at Psalms 40, and I got to verse 3, and it says, I have put a new song in your heart, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And God was saying, I'm calling you. So I got back up on the phone. I called my pastor. I said, I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm telling you right now, God's called me, and I'm going to tell you how I know. He told me in the Word. He goes, well, I've known for a year you're called. But you had to have a word from God to stand on, because if you didn't have a word to stand on, every time things got going bad, you'd run. God's given you word concerning your marriage. You're to stay together for the rest of your lives. If you didn't have that word, every time things went bad, you'd run. So God has given you the word that you can stand on it. After that, God began to speak to my heart about going to seminary. And so I went down to Florida and worked with O.S. Hawkins for a summer, and he said, you need to go to seminary. And I came home, and I prayed, and I waited for about 6 months, and January came, and I went to the Word, and I said, God, what do you have to say about this? And he spoke to me in Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. All things work together for good. But in verse 29 and 30, it says, those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. And what God was saying is, seminary is not just for you. Seminary is you can show my people that you have finished the course. And God was making it very clear to me, seminary wasn't just for me, Phil. It was so the people of God who doubted whether I truly was called could see that I was able to finish the course. Now, I didn't have any money. And so someone says, you going to seminary? I said, yeah. They said, when are you leaving? I said, I'm leaving on Saturday. And they said, how are you going to pay for it? I said, I don't know that part. See, the going part's my part. The paying part's God's part. I'm only supposed to go. That's the going part. That's what I have to do. The paying part is his responsibility. So on my way driving down to seminary with no money to go to school, I stopped at the University of Oklahoma to watch a football game. I went into the game. I sat with a guy who's a real close friend of mine. We began to talk. He had tickets for me. He was waiting on me. And he said, are you going to seminary? I said, yes. As a matter of fact, my car's packed, and I'm heading there right now. He said, how are you going to pay for it? That's not my part. He goes, what do you think it would cost you to go to seminary? Write it down on a piece of paper. And I wrote this figure, $2,000 on a piece of paper. And he reached into his wallet. He pulled out a piece of paper. He turned it around and said, Harry, $2,000. He said, I'm going to give you $2,000 a year until you finish school, and please hurry. God not only was initiating this walk of faith, but God provided it. Brother Manly Beasley, who was one of my mentors, was laying in a hospital dying in 1972. And as he was dying in 1972, he went from 250 pounds down to like 135 pounds, and he was dying. They called him in. They said, get your family around you. He's going to die. He couldn't speak. He had four terminal illnesses. He couldn't speak. He couldn't write. They would prop his pillow up, put the Bible in front of him. He would read it every day. And he told me this story. He said people used to come in, and they would cheer, 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 cheer. He goes, you know, when you're laying in bed dying, the one thing you don't want is people coming to your hospital cheering you. He goes, and I couldn't understand what they were cheering for because I knew I wasn't going to die, because that morning God spoke to me in the Word, and as I was reading the Bible, God said, you will see your children's children. And he said, I knew I wouldn't die because I only had children. And he said that afternoon, a lady walked in the room, John, and she was about 6 foot tall. He said she was no Baylor beauty. She wore a very plain print dress. And he goes, and I wasn't sure whether the room went to heaven or whether heaven had come to the room, but there was a tremendous spirit of God in the room. And that lady came over and she knelt by my bed and she looked in my face and she whispered these words. She said, Manly, God is with you. And he said, when that lady told me God was with me, that word sprung up in my heart, and I stood and I believed God for what he was initiating. He was initiating life. I had to respond to him by faith. I couldn't just stand here trying to talk him into not killing me. I had to go to God and inquire of him what I was supposed to believe him for. You cannot walk with God by faith until he tells you what you're supposed to believe him for. If you just run off and say, well, I'm believing God, I'm walking by faith, I'm trusting by faith, and he has not yet spoken, you're still trusting yourself for what you're supposed to do instead of inquiring of God. And so I said to him, I said, Brother Manly, who is that lady? He said her name was Miss Corrie Ten Boom. Someone who understood the walk of faith. And God speaks. And as you understand what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, what I'm trying to get across is simply this. God, in my consistent seeking of God, is going to speak to me that I might respond to him in faith. Now, what do you believe in God for right now? I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it. I'm not talking about I'm believing God for a brand new house. I'm believing God for a Cadillac. What do you believe in God for that if he doesn't come through, you're sunk? That's what we're talking about, where God is speaking to you and you respond to him by faith. Now turn on your sheet of paper with me and follow along with me. We're going to look at the life of Jochebed tonight. Jochebed had a problem, and here's what her problem was. She had a real bad name. Jochebed. Bad name. Jochebed had a problem. Now, did God get to speak to her in the Word? Here's the answer to that. No. Why? He hasn't talked to anybody for 400 years. The last one he talked to was Joseph in a dream. That's the last time he spoke. It's been 400 years, so God is initiating with Jochebed the walk of faith by her circumstances, by her spirit, by her authorities. And she had no choice but to trust God. And here's the first thing. She trusted God's providence. If she does not put that child in the river, the child is gonna die. Now, I wrote myself a note here, and here's what I wrote. You don't have to be spiritually spooky to walk with God by faith. Some of us think that walking with God by faith is something spiritually spooky. I'm believing God. I'm in the Word of God. I'm trusting God. It's not spooky. I want to tell you more than that. Listen to this. Believing God and taking Him at His word and walking with Him by faith is always good and solid, and it's the sensible thing to do. It's not some flaky thing out here. It's usually the sensible thing to do. Faith always makes sense. Now, it may not make sense to you right now, but it's going to make sense to God. And God's not asking you to take some step into the darkness. He's asking you to take some step into the light that He has given you. He has initiated. You have to step by faith into the light of what He's initiated. The Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. He's told me what to do. I respond with footsteps into the light. But sometimes it's also into the unknown. I don't always know what God is going to do here. And so, even though she didn't know how this was going to turn out, she did the most sensible thing she could do. She trusted the providence of God, and she placed that baby not into the river. She placed that baby into the hands of God. Now, parents, look in my face. All you can do is train those kids. There comes a time you're gonna have to float them down the river. And you're gonna have to, some of them are gonna float up the river. I've seen some of your kids. Some of them are going upstream, they're not going downstream. But you've got to understand that faith trusts the providence of God in the most perilous times, and faith in God is the most preserving influence that you can ever have. And there makes no sense for us to live our lives out in such a way that we trust our own ability and our own providence, when God says you need to trust the providence of God. Now watch this. She leaned, number two, on God's protection. Pharaoh was using the river as a grave. She used the river as a cradle. She trusted God's protection. Now watch this. If I'm coming to God and I've taken hands off my life and I'm asking Him to initiate, I'm not trying to convince Him what I want. I'm asking Him to initiate. And He does, and I respond to Him by faith. And let's say I even miss Him. Is He still going to protect me? Absolutely. Why? Because my heart is not to go doing my own thing. If I miss God, it's because I'm dumb. It's not because He can't speak. It's because I'm not listening. It's not because He can't speak. And sometimes when we miss God, God has a purpose for us missing Him, because sometimes He wants to take us the long way. Now, a lot of people, if you see a brother in need, you know what the worst thing you can do? Help him without asking God. Why? You may take him out of a storm that God wanted him to go through. God may have wanted to take him through the storm. And so she trusted the protection of God. Let me show you four facts about God's protection. God's protection in the walk of faith will always supersede the power of the enemies in your life. They will always supersede. Watch this. Jesus Christ said these words, I've given you all power on heaven and earth. How much is left? I've given you all power on heaven and earth. How much is left? Where does he get his power then? Where does the enemy get his power? From my faithlessness. He gets his power from my faithlessness, or my trying to live life in my own ability, or I give him power through my what? Well, I just don't know what God's going to do. How's he going to take us through this stuff? And what's the enemy say? Aha, you want to get to the Ewings? Let's test their faith financially. because they have not yet learned how to believe and trust God, find out what he's initiating, respond to him by faith. Let's take him through that. Watch this. God's protection went beyond Pharaoh's plan. Pharaoh's plan was to kill all the babies. Not all of them died. We know one that lived. Here's the third one. God's protection and the faith went beyond the mother's hope. It went beyond the mother's hope. Do you think that mother, when she put that kid in the river, thought that he'd end up a prince at the palace? Do you understand the devil had to pay the diaper bills for what he was doing? Do you understand the providence and the protection of God? Do you understand that God in her life went beyond her own hope? And God's protection and the walk of faith, watch this, went beyond the world's advice. The world will always give you advice. Your friends will give you advice. It just may not be God's. It may not be God's. Here's the third thing. Watch this. She looked for God's plan. She looked for God's plan. Faith has confidence in God's plan. How many times have you heard this? Don't just stand there, do something. I love what Henry Blackaby says. He said, don't just do something, stand there. We're so quick to want to run out ahead of God to accomplish what only he can accomplish. But faith has confidence in his plan. Faith doesn't rush in to help God's plan. Now let me give you an example of that. Several years ago, I had a need of a van, which, by the way, I have a need of a van. Now, I got to with a bunch of men, and you know what I preached about all weekend? How you had this van need. You know what I was saying? There's a bunch of rich guys here. I think I'm going to preach on faith. Maybe God will speak to one of their hearts and provide my need. Oh, absolutely. Oh, don't look at me like you've never done that. Some of you got a need, and what do? You run off trying to tell everybody what your need is instead of running to who? God. God. Now watch this. Faith follows God's plan when it's difficult. Faith follows God's plan when it's different than ours and when it's difficult. Faith follows God's plan when it's different than ours and it's difficult. Here's the next thing. She saw God's provision. My friend, God provided because she walked with God by faith. You walk with God by sight. I'm going to tell you right now, you may delay the blessings God has for you. You may delay the blessings. Here's the next thing, and I'm almost running out of time. She saw the results of faith, and the results of faith were a personal reward. There was a personal reward. And you say, what was the personal reward? She lost her son. How can this be a reward? She had to give up her son. She didn't lose her son. She knew exactly where he was. And she got to be the nursemaid and got paid to raise her own kid. Don't get any ideas. She got paid to raise her own kid. Because there's a personal reward. She saw, number one, the faithfulness of God. Why? God had a plan for this boy named Moses. And the plan wasn't just to let the people go. The plan was God was fixing to start talking again. And everything he would say would lead us to the cross. And God spoke. And she trusted his faithfulness. Watch this. There was freedom from bondage. You know something? Not only was he a prince in the palace, but do you figure she and the rest of her family lived pretty good after that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the next thing. It's the finality of faith. Do you understand that the promises of God are irrevocable? They're irrevocable. He's never going to take them back. And what God desires is that we'll rejoice over who we are instead of what we have. You know, in our society today, if you can be a millionaire and climb Mount Everest, everyone thinks you've had a pretty successful life. A pretty successful life. Now, I turned 50 yesterday, and I told you I've only got 20 years left. Do you know what I'd like on my tombstone? Pepperoni and cheese, that's right. I'd like pepperoni and cheese on my tombstone. I would like my tombstone to read this, Harry Layden, born, died. And underneath it, I'd like it to say this. It seems to me he walked with God by faith. That's what I'd like mine to say. He learned how to believe God. He learned how to hear from God. And watch this. Let me say this again. Hearing from God is going to require a commitment on your part to His Word daily. You can't go to His Word just when you're in trouble. God, in this walk of faith, is initiating this one thing. Word of God. Everything we do comes from the Word of God. I didn't marry Lynette until God gave me a word. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I asked God for a word. And here's what He said to me in Kings. You keep asking me for a word. Look what I've done already in front of you. And I looked at her and I looked at me and said, huh, this is a no-brainer. I want you to know I didn't come on staff here at Liberty until God spoke to me in the Word. And He talked to me through the story of Joseph. And I realized that I would become part of Pharaoh's team. And that all of us, John, myself, Rob, the rest of the staff, were all a bunch of Josephs. We all come alongside, and Pharaoh, he gives us freedom to do all the ministry we need to do, but we have to stay accountable to him. When God spoke that to me, I knew exactly what my position would be here. It would be a servant to carry out what Pharaoh wanted me to carry out. Watch this. If times get tough at Liberty, I'm not running away because I've got a word to stand on. And I'm believing God. What do you believe in God for? I suggest that you begin a journey in the next several days to get on your face before God, before the problem comes, and say, Father, what are you initiating in my life that you want me to trust you for? Father, what is it that you want me to carry out for your kingdom can only be carried out by a walk of faith? God, what do you want? I will adjust to you. What do you want? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're going to continue this study on Sunday morning. Brother Paul will be going, I'll be preaching. This Sunday morning is, what kind of faith pleases God? What kind of faith pleases God? How can you have a faith that pleases God? I'm going to show you six things Sunday that will help you understand. In this walk of faith, you can have a faith that really pleases your Father. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for our time tonight. And thank you for loving us. And Father, I would pray that that you're able to get across to these folks what you're trying to teach them tonight. Through this
a servant who lacks the wisdom to know always what to say and do. Father, thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Paul.